Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. Welcome to another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Hey, we're going to go ahead and jump right into this thing, man. I want to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner in podcast crime, Reg. What's going on, Space Age Pimpin'?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's good with you?
Hey, you know what it is, man. We jumping into to part two of this top 10 things that have happened since our...
Forever.
Since our last show, before we took a hiatus back in March 2021. So to recap, in part one, we went 10 through 6. And right now, we're going to go ahead and jump off of number 5, man. You want to throw your number 5 out there, or you want me to do mine?
Yeah, and we did some honorable mentions, too, so you got to check that out.
Yeah, definitely got to check that out. And again, we know that y'all motherfuckers are going to be like, well, why didn't you say this? And why didn't you say this? And you ain't talking about this. Like a motherfucking chihuahua, you know what I'm saying? Just going to be barking and shit. You know what I'm saying? Man, let's shut the fuck up.
And I'm sure there's going to be a certain demographic.
Yeah, but you know, it's all good. You know, we appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Thank you for listening.
Exactly.
Bless you. Good night.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be okay.
You know, I love the text and the... Well, we don't have the text line anymore, but you know I love the DMs.
You don't have the text line no more?
No, I don't have the text line.
Okay,
that shit became a nuisance. Fucking expensive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't a nuisance, but that shit was expensive as fuck.
Oh,
so,
yeah, okay.
You know, to try to keep it separate from my private phone number. You know what I'm saying? That shit was expensive. I mean, you know, I may get it back if I can find a more economical way to do it, but...
Okay, we have to maybe garner some donations from our listeners, perhaps.
All businesses have a budget, including positive...
If you want to continue listening, please contribute to...
Right.
Yeah. But I started with the number 5.
Yeah, go ahead. Jump this shit off.
Jump back from 5. Was the Juneteenth federal holiday. I think that was something that Black Americans and everybody sort of jumped on the bandwagon. It was a federal holiday. So
including the motherfucker that tried to trademark it.
Yeah.
That shit, talk about people.
It became
nuts.
A money grab for corporations. Walmart jumped in with their ice cream and, you know, trying to make money off of...
And it was great value ice cream. Just ice milk. That ain't ice cream, motherfucker.
So, I mean, you know, you celebrate the holiday, you know, of course, those who don't know, June 19th, 1865 was the last of when the slaves in Galveston, Texas were told that they were free, although they had been freed months later, earlier. But it's a celebration of that piece of...
Almost 2 years earlier, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. But once the last piece of the South found out, which I think was in April of that year, it's trickled down to when they found out versus technically when they were. So you're right. But either way, while it should be a foundational Black American family celebration, it becomes a corporate thing. And so I wanted to sort of address that.
Okay. No, you know, I'm with it.
Yeah.
I'm always down for the squad, bro.
Yeah. So it's, you know, what it looks like isn't what it always is.
True.
And when you got your, I'll just say loosely, enemy, when you have your enemy celebrating something, I don't know how I feel, you know. I don't know how I feel about certain things when it comes to that. When you have people who are, it just feels funny. I for an example, on a work call, you know, like the Friday before, you know, we had like a Friday meeting and say, hey, happy Juneteenth to everyone, like 100 people on the call. And I'm like, for a white man to say happy Juneteenth, it just feels funny. It feels phony. You feel me?
Oh, it was funny.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean,
like that.
I mean, they get a day off just like everybody else, so they don't care, you know.
Right.
So
right,
it's
right.
is, but it is something that happened. Biden signed that into law, I think, June of 2021. And how fitting, the same month of the Tulsa massacre and all that. Some things are done as a prop to say, hey, to pacify the masses. Hey, we're going to sign this just to keep y'all reparationists quiet, or keep mm-hmm. any type of, you know, black, you know, struggle or empowerment alive. We're going to dampen some of you. We're going to dampen and think that we're, hey, vote for me because I signed this into law. It becomes political. Mm-hmm. But it was something that happened. That was my number five, bro.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this shit is for show, and it's a whole lot less of it that's for goat. I need motherfuckers to cut these checks. Anything else
uncivilized.
I mean, but anything else, I don't give a fuck about. Where my check? Period. We need to talk about. I need to be.
I'm with you, bro.
Number one, I need all of my student loans gone. Number two, I need. Let's put it like this: the tax code is already a foreign language to me. However, mm-hmm. I need it to be a non-existing language for me. You understand what I'm saying?
There we go.
It's like if you don't want to pay me, don't take no money from me.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to pay taxes.
You understand what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. There's ways around this shit that you are not, that when I say you, I mean the power establishment. Mm-hmm. We're speaking of power here. There's ways that you can handle that shit, but you just don't want to do it. Now, we're going to eventually paint these motherfuckers into a corner to where they say, okay, look, we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then we'll deal with them like they should be dealt with. So,
yeah, I mean,
nonetheless, moving on.
But that's my number five. So I echo your sentiments.
Right. So, my number five, man, this is one of the ones I took like a worldview, and I'm.
He sighs.
Yeah. Because like I said, I was hesitant to put this up so high, but it's really such a it's really such a shitty situation that I felt like that, and there were so many people affected by this fucking what damn near 30 year 20 year so, well started in the 90s back up again in 2001 anyway the Middle East withdrawal, the Afghanistan withdrawal of our troops.
Okay. What was that? I feel like that was a long time.
I mean, it was 2021. I want to say either summer-ish. June or August.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's just one of those situations, man, where, you know, where you think that, yeah, we're there for a purpose, but two decades later, you realize that you've been sold a bill of goods. You know, this is still, I mean, we lost real people over this shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're talking about, I mean, we're pro-black show. Never have disguised that. We're anti-white supremacists, anti-racist. We're not anti-white people. However, I think that when you look at our country sticking its nose where it really doesn't belong, it always affects, well, I won't say always, but mostly affects people of color or, you know, brown people. I feel like that America wouldn't do this shit to a European country. It wouldn't, those things wouldn't. I understand that European countries are a little bit farther along in terms of their development and governmental structure and things like that. Not a lot of coup attempts in the EU. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, I mean, I get that. But I feel like that the United States always has a habit of putting their face and their dick in places that it doesn't need to be. And then when they leave, we always leave it worse.
That's a history, bro.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that the collateral damage, when we talk about the number of young men and women in the primes of their lives that committed themselves to the duty of the country, and lost those lives. It's fucked up to me, regardless of what color you are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just really fucked up because you got soldiers lost, families devastated.
The
damage is untold. You know what I'm saying? It's not as, the body count isn't as it was in any of the world wars or Vietnam or any of that, but it's the principle behind the shit. It's like they woke up and said, you know what? Administration change. Hey, look, we out. Yeah, no, we got people hanging on the motherfucking airplane wings trying to get out because, you know, Taliban's about to take over. It just really looked like, okay, that kind of shit shouldn't happen. And so that's the only reason why I put it five. It just goes to show how fucked up we can be and the messes that we leave globally. That, you know, to be a superpower.
Yeah, that's why everybody hates us as a country.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, and my thing is this: for us to be a superpower, we don't pull out our dick enough to show how big it is. We don't do that. We try to play diplomacy and we get into these relationships and these clandestine affairs with these side piece countries, with these unstable governments and these crazy ass dictators. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We in bed with all these side pieces that are crazy, that's going to come and slash your tires bust your fucking headlights and windows out. You see what I'm saying? We're not crazy deranged. You know what I'm saying? We're not fucking up the ladder. We're sleeping down. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're always trying to save a hoe.
It's a learned, you know, behavior.
We need to quit trying to save these hoes. Lead them hoes. Ain't that what your boy Chicago said in Poetic Justice when Tupac was driving off?
Oh,
lead Chicago. Them hoes. Yeah, lead them hoes.
He and his damn brush.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, we need to lead them hoes, man.
Yeah, well, I agree with everything you said. I think that's it crosses all lines, color lines, or what have you. It's just right or wrong. It becomes a right or wrong situation,
right.
And it's all political, as with everything else. But was that was your five?
That was
right?
My number five. Yeah. You want me to go ahead with my number four?
Four. I mean, we can go tit for tat, but
go ahead.
What you want?
Go ahead.
Four is the whole Ukraine and Russia war, if you will, or takeover. It's not really a war.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, that's not a war.
Yeah,
that's
not a war.
Sometimes, what your boy say, I can't remember his name, motherfucking comedian, I think, talking about his dad used to tell him, he's like, man, sometimes you the bug, sometimes you the windshield.
Oh, shit. It went George, what's his name? Who you think about? Yeah, I forgot my favorite white comedian. What's his name? George? What's his name? Oh, yeah, I don't know. But
no, this is a black dude that said
it. Okay. So Ukraine, Russia. Of course, that's been probably the biggest international news. And without really getting into the, you know, the whole purpose why and all that, I just want to take my view of what made me. Would allow me to think about this from a black perspective is through two things. It's very easy. $9.8 billion the U.S. has given, and the numbers could be off from that, but that's something that I saw, to Ukraine.
Let me go check my mailbox, see if my check there.
From a security, what was it? Something about with security.
You get a check yet?
Hell no. I'm
okay.
Gonna check.
All right. But we could.
So that's my point.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have the money for this and that. How are we gonna raise money for this and that with reparations and other things? But quickly, money just can be poured into
another
white
country,
another European nation.
It it kills me, bro, because I'm thinking this, like, the United States is like that motherfucker that owe you money, like owe you a grip, but you see that motherfucker out at the mall with bags.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They out there shopping and blowing your money.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the United States.
And it's actually been over 12 billion or nearly 12 billion since 2014 that we've given them. Is what it's saying is for security assistance is what they label it as.
Mm.
And secondly, bro, I was just sort of mad at Hampton University, man. Hampton University
taking in those displaced people.
Yeah, they offered, and that was spring of 2022, that they offered free tuition and room and board for Ukrainian refugees and what have you, or students. And so it doesn't necessarily, I don't think they define it as like refugees from war, which that is the assumed premise, but it could be an actual Ukrainian who is a student that could qualify. I think up to 100 of them. Hmm. And my problem with that is you got, and I've seen DMs and messages on social boards about actual students at Hampton, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm waiting on my financial aid check to clear, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're just giving
motherfuckers away.
You're giving money away.
Let me tell you. Now, I know a gang of people. And when I say a gang, I'm talking about if they ever listen to this, I mean, they're probably gonna be mad. Because I know a lot of people that went to Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I will say this. Hampton strikes me as one of those institutions that want to be plugged in on a higher level of political influence.
Thus their president, Harvey.
Right. I don't think he's a president anymore. I think they got a new
right. They're I think this summer, but it's everything happened really up under his tutelage.
So I think that they want to have a more political presence to further, you know, grow whatever endowment they may have. How do you do that? You do that by, you know, rubbing elbows with people of political influence that can enable that. You know, when you got to plug into where the money, where the unlimited amount of money is. You have to plug into that. So from a business perspective, I can understand it. From a holistic perspective, from a soul perspective, it's dirty as fuck, dude. Because you got people that are coming from some of the worst hoods in the country, mortgaging their lives on an opportunity to attend your university, hoping that when they come out on the back end, they have the opportunities to open more doors so they don't have to go back to the fucking hood. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now, you got people, too, that have gone to Hampton because they're second and third generation Hamptonites. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is what it is. And their parents pay or whatever. You know what I mean? There's some well-to-do people that go there. So, again, from a business perspective, I can understand it. From a blackness perspective, it's dirty as fuck.
Yeah.
It's dirty as fuck. And I dare say that a lot of folks who are alumni of the institution probably feel the same way, but you will be hard pressed to find multitudes. You'll find a few, but you will be hard pressed to find multitudes of Hampton graduates that will speak negatively about that, because those motherfuckers are on code.
I agree, especially the older,
yeah, you know, the older school, yeah, they ones, are on code,
you know, because it's about all lives paper. Matter quickly.
Yeah, it's about the paper.
And, you know, as a private institution, too, I think that has to sort of curve some of their thinking and philosophy around it for some reason. But I agree with what you said. And what I stated in the previous show was that part of my criteria was looking at these top 10 items that has impacted Black American society in some way or somehow. And to me, I felt that. To what we're saying about with Hampton and of course with Biden as well, with the money that's given, when you got citizens right here, you know, you got students around Hampton, Rhodes, Virginia, that need that free tuition, that are Black American citizens,
right?
You know, that's just
they may never see a college campus unless they get your help.
Right. And I get the business piece. I understand that college is a business altogether, whether you private or public. But it's just not the right thing to do as an HBCU.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be mad if it was Duke or Carolina or whatever. But I mean, you're HBCU too. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know.
I'm telling you, man. It's,
you already give money. I'm sure they help in other
money's
ways.
Money's a hell of a drug, bro. You know? Money is a hell of a drug.
It's amazing. But that was my, what?
That's pretty high up on your list, man, for number four.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So my number four is that piece of shit, Derek Chauvin, getting some time, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to give this bitch ass motherfucker too much airtime, but I just hope that terrible things happen to him while he's locked away. You know, score one for the good guys, finally. Now, I know I've heard a lot of shit people talking about, people, you know, put George Floyd out there like he was some type of martyr and, you know, he wasn't this type of person, he was that type of person, da 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 da.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's what happens. They try to assassinate the character.
Man, it's just,
I don't give a damn if George Floyd had a brick in his pocket and a gun in his drawers. Yeah. He didn't deserve what he got. Didn't deserve to die like that in the street. So, you know, go to hell, Derek Chauvin. Fuck you. Fuck your mama. Fuck your dog. Fuck your family. Fuck your kids if you got any. Fuck everybody in your lineage. And that's how I feel from my heart. Fuck them all.
Till you do right by me, you know.
I mean, you can do right, and it's still gonna be fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just
because saying, I can't trust you.
To quote the
color purple.
See you a little bit, but yeah
fuck all of them, bro.
That's definitely one that is. That was my three.
Okay.
So just to piggyback on what you're saying, it was something that led a movement, you know, a rebirth, if you will, type of movement in 2020. And then when it led to that, of course, I was pissed off. You got 22 and a half years or whatever. Mm-hmm. The crime didn't fit the time, but vice versa. But
but it's like when you're starting from zero, that's a big fucking jump, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you look at what those crooked ass cops from LA did to Rodney King, if you go from that to this, that's a pretty big fucking jump.
And that's what that's why we need specific protections of Black Americans, man.
That's a whole nother show. But
protections.
I'm telling you, I mean,
you've heard me say this before, but
we're gonna do a show on that. We're gonna do a show specifically on why we need that. So say what you're saying.
Okay.
Because we're gonna do a show on that, because I feel like that we kind of glossed over it, and we talked about it but we talked about it from a point of anger when Biden dropped those protections for Asians. We were speaking from a place of frustration. I think that, you know, now since we've been gone for a minute, I think now is the time to really address that shit and put it in and break it down on terms that people can actually hold on to, and maybe we can galvanize some people to think as to why we really need to push this particular part of the Black agenda. So we're gonna do a show on that.
Oh, doubt. But I share in you in that you're four to my three, so you can go at three.
Okay, cool. Number three is, I'm gonna call this Prelude to Justice, because it looks promising, but we don't know exactly where it's gonna go. We did have a detective from the Louisville Metro Police Department admit to some shady dealings in terms of obtaining a warrant that was fucked up and ended up resulting in the killing of Breonna Taylor. There are some indictments that have been handed down. The system, and there's a lot of corruption without going into everything. And I really think that this needs to be a show too, because we need to peel back and talk about it may be a two-part show, because I think that the layers of corruption within the Louisville Metro Police Department are eventually going to come out. Not sure if you know, I think I may have told you this before, but a real close friend of mine, her son was killed by Louisville Metro Police Department. And I'll tell you who it is. You know who she is.
Oh, okay.
But I,
sure.
But yeah, and it's, and they put it on YouTube, bruh.
What?
The police department put it on YouTube as to say, look, we were justified. It's real fucked up, bruh. Real fucked up. So
I'm trauma.
Right. So I think that there is some there's some reckoning that needs to be had within. Oh, and by the way, people, I'm not just talking shit about Louisville. I am a Louisville, Kentucky, not Louisville
native.
I'm a Louisville, Kentucky native. So, you know, I got history with the city. I know what the fuck I'm talking about when I speak about Louisville. So there's a level of corruption there that I think is about to be exposed. That is, I think it's going to give us a multitude of content to be able to break down and explain to people that may not actually follow the details. Because, you know, we follow the headlines. We rarely get into the details, as most listeners. Well, most listeners don't get into the details. So that's going to be our jobs, to provide them with shit that they can really understand. To have a deeper level of thinking. So that's my number three, man. Like I said, Prelude to Justice. Hopefully we get the type of outcomes that are needed in this particular one, because these motherfuckers need to rot in fucking jail. They need to sit in the hardest of hard penitentiaries and get sodomized daily.
I just want, you remember the Wicked Witch of the West, how she sort of disintegrated and melt, like, it just melt away. Like, I don't know.
I want them to be here, and I want them, again, I want them to be punished in a way that is just as inhumane as the acts that they've committed.
Yes. It's,
you understand what I'm saying?
It's corrupt, man. Yeah, I hope they get everything thrown at them. So. Right.
So let me head to my number two, because I think it was on your countdown on the previous show. It's the Ahmaud Arbery killers.
Okay.
Getting some serious time. This is another situation, man, where you got white people going wild, bro. You know, it's just a shame to think that the motherfuckers really thought that they had a right to do what they did. And I don't think everybody got life. I think one of the guys...
Two of them got life.
Two of them got life.
And one of them got, I think, 25 or 35
years. Yeah, so, you know, life in prison,
they won't last.
They're going to kill themselves, man. Because, I mean, people that do shit like that are normally cowards, bro. You know, they're going to end up killing themselves. But, you know, it hurts my heart that... their punishment is not being celebrated more. You understand what I'm saying? Because when the shit was out there and everybody was having to make a judgment about this young man and what he seemed to be doing, and people wanted to justify the actions of these crazy ass motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know, when all the banter was going back and forth, it was front and center.
Yeah.
When there was an opportunity to cast doubt on the character of a young black man, they took that opportunity. When it was an opportunity to justify the actions of some crazy ass rednecks, they took that opportunity to do that shit. But now that the scales of justice have tipped in the favor of the righteous,
yeah,
you hear motherfucking crickets.
That's because
majority
of people are watching media, you know, right. CNN and MSNBC right. and Fox, and they're not getting,
they're
all on the same code. They just have different views of how right. they report news and propaganda.
Right. So from a top 10 perspective that we were talking about in terms of how, you know, how it affects the black community, I feel like that I don't want to say a healing of a wound, but this was definitely a stitch in the gash of,
it's a win.
You know, it's a stitch in the gash. You know, it's, we're still trying to clot that blood that we've been bleeding for centuries.
Yeah.
But it's a stitch, and it's a turn in the right direction, as was punk ass Derek Chauvin's conviction. You know, that was a step in the right direction. And I really feel like, going back to that, because that was my number four, I really feel like that whole thing with George Floyd gained traction because it shocked the shit out of white people.
Mm-hmm.
But it shocked the right white people, which were the young white people that hadn't been exposed to this bullshit. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
These are the kids that don't like their fucking parents. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
they don't like the way that things have gone. They're the parents of the boomers who have sucked everything out of this country and they have nothing left. So, you know, we got the right people on our team. So it's like we weren't out there fighting this shit by ourselves. So
yeah, I mean they and it's those parents and grandparents who are many of them are embarrassed about their yesteryears and how they, you know, what they did. Maybe not, but and those are the ones who are anti critical race theory in any form.
Right.
That's
a whole nother show, bro.
Yeah, I don't expose what we used to do now, you know.
Right.
You know, hey kids. I don't know.
Right. I mean, these are the same motherfuckers that want you to believe. Well, as a matter of fact, I'll talk about that when we get to my number one. What's your number one?
I'm on two.
You're on two, my bad.
Two is Roe v. Wade.
Okay, that's my number one. Okay. Shocker.
Roe v. Wade was it's been the biggest thing in the last month or two from this show's date. And I mean, you know, like Chris Rock said, some things you're liberal about, some things you're conservative about. You know, the whole thing is, for years it's been you pro-choice or pro-life, you know, and people swing their way with their political party sometimes mainly without thinking about how they truly feel and where they fit into the equation. And with me, I'm on that fence. I believe that women deserve, if this is a service that has been federally backed for the last 49 years for women to gauge upon, a lot of women have grown used to it. And women get abortions for different reasons, right? Some, unfortunately, are rape. Some just are not responsible with their sexual activity. And you got happy marriages who say, hey, we got enough kids and I got knocked up. You know, so it's different reasons. And I believe that women with having that service have a right to say, what, you know, this is my body. On the other hand, I know that there have been countless numbers of black babies that have been kill for a particular eugenics reason, if you will. There's an agenda, has always been, of depopulation. We know where Planned Parenthood came from. We can take this thing back to Margaret Sanger. Most of you know who she is. Look her up and her racist views against black people. So in a sense, you know, when you think about just life in general, for me, I would say I prefer a life to be saved if it can be. It's just a sticky situation. But with women, and I'll leave with this, many of them say it's a women's rights issue. To me, it is an issue in regards to a service that you had that has been removed. How do you now adjust to that service being removed? It impacts men too. The men who are responsible thinkers. Wow, we got pregnant. We didn't want this. I just met you, I love you, but we're dating, but this isn't what we wanted. Whatever your situation is, it can impact folks, but it is a service that has been removed. Now what? What do you do? What responsible decisions are we making? Just in general. And so that is it. And then just to quickly look up, I think her name is Norma McCorvey, who was Jane Roe. She was a serial liar herself. I mean, she lied about being gang raped by black men. That's what sort of spurred a lot of it. Court case, back in 1973. And she lied about that. She eventually became anti-abortion. And then she lied about that later, saying that she, you know, it's know who you're dealing with, and know why. And I always say this: there's an agenda in every decision that is made by U.S. government, and that agenda, unfortunately, has not been in the favor of Black American citizens. Take that for what it's worth, but certainly Roe v. Wade was a huge thing that still continues to be, you know, going on in American society. So that's my number two, bro.
All right, that's actually my number one, but I'm gonna tie it in, and I'll let you do your number one last week, and we could talk about that. But check this out, man. I'm about to uncomplicate this Roe v. Wade shit for you.
Broke it down.
It's a couple different avenues of thought that people need to have on this. Number one, let's look at the commonplace nature of abortion. You know, I was in the insurance industry, healthcare insurance industry for years, from doing, benefit analysis to working on appeals and things like that. I've seen benefit structure for some of the largest companies in the United States. We're talking about Disney and companies of that nature. So, I mean, I've seen what they offer their employees in terms of benefits. And I'm not speaking to what Disney Corporation offers their people now, because I don't know, because I've been removed from that for a while. However, there are companies out there that cover elective TOPs, which is termination of pregnancy.
Okay.
They cover that. It's under the benefit structure. It's like sometimes it's a $50, $75, $100 copay. Sometimes it's a copay and some co-insurance. Sometimes, you know, whatever. You got to pay a deductible, whatever the case may be. A lot of plans actually cover that. That means that it's interwoven into the fabric of government regulation. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now you remove that. Companies got to scramble now. It's like, okay, is it going to affect our bottom line? We're able to charge more because we put this rider in here.
Right.
There's going to be some things that are going to be happening that we may not be seeing, that this is going to affect that whole industry. Number two, I look at the attack on this particular law, longstanding law. It's definitely a partisan effort. It's why Joe Biden should add more justices to the court until they overturn that shit. It's, you got opportunity to be presidential with your old sagging nut ass. Go be presidential. This is what the fuck you're supposed to do. Add justices until you get some shit in your favor.
Okay.
Too scared to do it. Number three, the attack on this has to be fought, whether or not, especially if you're a Black person, whether you agree with abortion or not. I don't give a fuck if you're the biggest Bible thumping son bitch out there. If you're a Black person, you need to get this shit reinstated. Because what's going to happen when they start coming for Civil Rights Act of 1964? What are they going to do when they start trying to overturn all these other things that really and truly affect you? You need to be in this game right now and understand that that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because you know what these motherfuckers are. They are masters at distraction and deception.
That's true.
And I'm not a, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But what I'm saying, when you're dealing with masters of distraction and deception, you always have to watch for the hook. And we just got jabbed. This is the jab.
Who's we though? Black folks.
We just got jabbed.
Off this decision?
Yes, because I'm telling you.
What is
to stop them for putting other things in front of the Supreme Court?
But they can
overturn.
Do anything.
That's what I'm trying to
they
say.
They can do anything. So
that's what I'm trying to say. That's why this needs to be fought with vigor. Because if they realize that they don't get enough pushback from this, they'll be like, okay, what else we don't like that we can go ahead and push back? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, be aware. Be aware and be vigilant. You know, choose your side based on what what your life could literally be like and not necessarily for what you believe. That's the catch, because they want to hook people with this evangelical shit, saying that, oh, the country was founded on this, and this. Okay, number one, with no fucking Christians here before your ass even got here. The country was not founded on Christianity or in evangelical anything. The country was stolen from motherfuckers that were already here.
That is correct.
Period. So this whole guise of, you know, Christian values, this, that, and the third, go to hell with that shit, because it just doesn't make sense. Okay. Enough of that. Next point I want to make in terms of the sensibility of this decision. Okay, number one, it's not sensible. They shouldn't have ever fucked with it, because it's just a political tool that people run on every fucking cycle. Mm-hmm. It's political.
Hey, everything.
It's just that this particular time, they had the nuts to put it before the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's just crazy. It's just we're just in a moment of time where the dominoes are falling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving past that, let's talk about personal responsibility and nuances surrounding elective abortions. From a thinking man standpoint, what I think is this. This is what I feel. If a woman wants to get an abortion, go get one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I'm pro-life. I really am. However, I do feel like that abortion laws don't address the things that need to be really controlled, which is, I say people need to have discipline in, which is judgment. And I'm saying the majority of cases, judgment, communication, responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of legislating whether or not you can have an elective termination of pregnancy, legislate it to the point to where you have to contractually, don't put it in the dark anymore, contractually. Or this, it can be private. It doesn't have to be public record.
Mm-hmm.
But some type of healthcare agency needs to have this information. Some government agency needs to have this information. I'm going to tell you why. Say, for instance, a situation where I'm a ball player. I make $50 million a year. I play Major League Baseball. I'm single. I got a one-night stand.
Yeah.
Maybe I use a condom. Maybe it breaks.
Yeah.
Maybe a chick gets pregnant. She thinks she done hit the lotto.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
She doesn't want to have an abortion, but I want her to. Right?
Okay.
Now, this is the thing. If that act was consensual and there were things that have gone on within that particular act that cause an unwanted pregnancy, but she wants it because she sees a meals ticket, I think there needs to be some contractual release of obligation. It's just like, okay, I don't want you to have this, but if you don't want to have an abortion, that's fine. Mm-hmm. However, you need to understand that this child will not have me in his life.
How do you govern that? Or maybe not the govern, but
I'm just saying there needs to be a process in place. And I'm speaking from an idealistic situation that doesn't exist. So I don't know is the short answer. But what I'm saying is there needs to be communication, discipline, and responsibility.
Yeah.
So if we're faced with a situation where I don't want a child and you want a child, and you can't take me to the cleaners because you feel like you done came up on a meal ticket.
Oh yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And vice versa. If you want an abortion and I don't want you to have it, if you don't want an abortion and if you want an abortion, but I want the child.
Okay.
Those things need to be
some caveats to it.
There needs to be documented, and it doesn't have to be public information, but it needs to be recorded somewhere for, you know, legal purposes down the line that you don't foresee. I think that there
who's doing the recording? Attorneys?
Bro, I don't know. I haven't thought that far into it. But what I'm saying is that there needs to be a system in place surrounding the actual elective termination of pregnancy. If there's another person involved, that person needs to not necessarily sign off on it, but they need to understand that this person is electing to have this done. This woman is electing to have this done, mm-hmm. and you are aware of it. You shouldn't have any power to stop it, but you need to be aware of it, because there's a lot of things that happen where women just go handle the shit and the man never know.
Yeah, that happens too.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there needs to be some, and I'm not saying that the consequence of this or anything should be where the woman should have to have the child and the man gets custody of it if he wants it. I ain't talking about none of that crazy shit, because that shit sounds crazy. Because ultimately, I think that the responsibility lies within the woman. However, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we know for a fact that there are women out there that will trap a dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah. So I just think that there needs to be, like I said, communication, discipline, and responsibility. Those things need to be documented in terms of, you know, I'm communicating with this agency about the fact that there is a situation that I'm in where there may be an elective abortion that is going to take place. Mm. Or it may not. Or I want one.
A little more due diligence. Yeah, there needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, if what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that this is the way it should be handled, because what I personally think, because let me rewind this shit before motherfuckers get their panties all up in their ass. What I'm saying is that if you are going to legislate something, you need to legislate the communication, the discipline, and so forth. You understand what I'm saying? That's what you should legislate. Because what I feel personally, if I go out and I knock a chick up tomorrow, she decides she want to have an abortion and I don't know about it, that's her business. Status quo. That's the way it's been. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the way it should be, even though I'm pro-life. Mm-hmm. That's the way it should be. If you're going to legislate something, if people are going to make bad choices, you need to make them uncomfortable in their choice. Mm-hmm. So they don't make those choices again. Because I know personally a woman that used elective abortions as birth control. Mm-hmm. I know this person personally. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, that's a discipline problem. That's a maturity problem. That's something that's, if you're going to legislate something, you need, these things need to be recorded so people can understand, just like an arrest record. You know what I'm saying? Right, if you're going to, and I know you got HIPAA laws and you know, and other things. Yeah, I ain't thought that deep into it. I mean, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to legislate something, you need to legislate the communication, the discipline, and so forth. So
is that for the benefit of one or the other in that party? Nope. Okay.
Nope. It's not for the only time it would really come for a benefit would be as if, you know, there's a woman that wants to keep a baby because she thinks she's going to get $1 million check every month.
Then try to sue and all that. Right. Becomes a whole litigation.
Right. Because yeah. My thing is like, okay, why should I give up control to you just because the condom broke? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But again,
and
you have to legislate the communication and the discipline. It's going to put people in situations where they're going to be thinking about, should I really fuck this chick?
And that's what I was saying, you know, earlier. Was the responsibility.
From a responsibility standpoint, that's...
This curtailing behavior.
Right. That's where the legislation should be focused. And again, I don't want motherfuckers to get shit twisted and thinking that this is what I want to happen. What I'm saying, again, for the fourth or fifth time, if you're going to legislate something, you need to put legislation in place that is going to deter certain type of behavior and prevent certain type of situation. So, mm-hmm. So again, that's
just real quick. I speaking with a female friend who said pretty much what you said, and I remember she added about the men having some level of responsibility. She was speaking in a pro manner, pro choice manner, but saying that. In her deliberation, was saying that men should have a certain level of responsibility along with the women, just in general. Because some men will knock you up and leave. And then the woman's like, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of us that unfortunately do that. But I don't know. Just to feed in what you're saying, I would just end it with that.
Yeah, I mean, because my thing is that if you dealing with a dude that doesn't want to be a father to the child that you are having, you really need to, that type of choice is something that you really have to really got to think about, because the odds are is that he's not going to be there for that child. You know, and then you're going to have to go through the process, the legislative process of making him be financially responsible. And what I'm saying is that if you are going to legislate anything, you legislate that process of who's going to be responsible for what before the child even comes into the world.
Yeah.
That's going to curtail a lot of that shit.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I sincerely hope it never gets to that shit. But I mean, you never know what the way times are right now.
And if you're thinking business minded in this, I bought some stock in some condom makers, and the female, it's slipping me. What do they call it? The morning after yeah. Stuff. All that female contraceptive as well. I bought some stock because that's going to go up. The brothers' mm-hmm. pullout game is shot. You know, contraceptives are there.
But, yeah, I mean, I just encourage people, man, to, and I know that in the previous show we spent a considerable amount of time talking about Kevin Samuels, and you know, one of the things that he talked about was you know, women thinking that they were I won't say worthy of, but thought that they were entitled to a certain level of men even after they've made fucked up choices in their life, which on some instances I agree with, if you're not trying to do better, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's the difference between, you know, you being
right.
You know, you being a
destined Negro,
right? If it's the difference between being a teen mom and you pull yourself out of it and you are, you know, a quote unquote good catch at this mm-hmm. particular point, because you've done things responsibly from that point on. However, it's still probably going to preclude you from certain levels of men. But I'm saying all this to say that overall, regardless of which way the law is going to come down, either presently or in the future, Black people need to make better choices. Need to make better choices in the people that we are here fucking.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. You know, we have to make better choices. And man, let me tell you, Black men are the worst sometimes, man, as far as their choices go, man. I mean, because, I mean, dude, sometimes, man, I believe that we'll fuck anything, man.
It's pretty
bad, man.
I think because all women want us to, but and then you have a culture, unfortunately, you have part of our culture that caters to all that as well. So
you know, glorifies the fact of whether or not you are virile and manly.
Yeah, I mean, we
all another crazy,
we know our potential, but we don't know how to master that piece of our ego.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah, so I mean, we got to make some better choices as Black people, man. We have to support people that are trying to make those choices. Because the one thing that I am, I won't say the one thing, because you know, Fresh is multifaceted in terms of his opinions and passions. But one of the things that I have no tolerance for are for people that continuously fuck up and make bad choices that derail their potential. It's okay to do it while you're young, but as a grown ass adult, you gotta understand what the risks are. You gotta grow
and improve in the right direction.
And I can't stand people that continuously fuck up shit and they don't want people to bail them out. I can't do it, bro. But nonetheless, man, we're gonna
I think I got a number one real quick though.
Okay, go ahead.
And this is...
Damn, we spent a lot of time on that Roe v. Wade, bro. I didn't want to do that shit, bro.
Okay. Damn. That's why, I mean, hey, that's what's on my mind. But mine, I make it quick. It's the obvious. Is COVID. So just impacts things that have happened, vaccines that came out, et cetera, regardless of what the deal is. That's something, whether you believe in vaccines, believe that COVID exists, whatever, we've seen over 144,000 Black Americans perish out of just over a million, I think, recorded deaths, which is a little under what our percentage is here as a population in the country. I think nearly 50% of us have vaccines, Black Americans. Regardless of your position, make decisions or choices for you. There's been a lot of shaming that has actually divided a lot of sects of people, friends falling out, families falling out. You ain't got the vaccine, you can't come nowhere, whatever the case. Think about what you're doing. Make a decision. I choose to be vaccinated. I don't. And try to navigate without any bashing, without any disrespect. Speak your mind if you need to. If it's a loved one or whatever, that's fine. But Black folks, just whatever it is, and don't follow your political leaders just because they do. Do it for you. You may say, hey, Biden wants me to get a vaccine, but I'm not, or vice versa. This person doesn't want me to, but no, I need it for myself. Know your body. Health is wealth. You know, if you get it, great. If you don't, great. I just wish everyone well on that. But that's my number one, because it's something that we all deal with. We've seen, you know, people have lost lives and lost jobs, and et cetera, et cetera. It's been the most impactful thing, I think, definitely since we've gone. It started before we.
It started like a year. It started like literally a year before we went off. Yeah.
But in terms of the, I had it like that because it's ongoing. Mm-hmm. And I think our next, a year from now, will be still, COVID will be something or variants thereof.
Right. So
that's why I made it that quick.
All right. But well, your number one, as far as COVID, man, I'll just say that, I'm not sure I quite echo the sentiments in terms of the vaccination thing, man. But I do believe that it's a person's choice. But I think that depending on what your family situation may be, what your living situation may be, even if you're anti-vaccine, you might need to be pro-vaccine. You know, it's really one of those things where you have to, just like you said, you have to know your body, but you got to also know the body of the people that are around you, because this shit came through.
Right.
And it was flipping over tables and kicking puppies.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Based on your situation, if you get it, if that's your decision.
Right.
Don't be moved and swayed by the Dems want it, the Republicans don't, whatever the case.
Yeah, that's just stupid to me.
Or my church, or my friends. Look at your own life.
And I think
you live around your elders,
right,
and you're around older people or children or whatever, I get if that's what's best for you.
I think we lost a lot of people. I mean, and I don't have any empirical data to back this up, but I really feel, I mean, we had so much incompetence in the administration when this shit first jumped off that I feel like that we lost people that we could have saved based on pure ignorance and based on political posturing and things of that nature. Slow response, you know, the total incompetence of the Trump administration on all fronts, on all things, was really just, I think that we were behind. We were always one step behind, and we probably could have saved a whole lot more people had, had we accepted what was really happening,
Again, health is wealth. If you know that you can do things better for your health, do it. Listen to younger folks, listen to things, media outlets, other than your regular TV, Just listen, gather information, and make the best decision. I hate to see our people, to any disease, really, virus or, you know, cancers and things, that diabetes, that some things you can control if you just make decisions.
We need to read, bro. Black folks need to read and not rely on information that they hear and see on TV and social media and things like that. You need to look for research, peer-reviewed research articles, and it's out there. You have to read because Black people are truly susceptible in the mediums that we widely communicate with, and I'm going off on a tangent here, in the mediums that we widely communicate via social media, email, text, all those quick mediums, microwave mediums, if you will. We are so susceptible to low quality information. We are truly susceptible to bullshit. We're gullible as a whole to bullshit. And so we make decisions based on which way the pendulum is swaying. We do dumb shit like that, and we need to get out of that particular mentality.
And I think it's harder than what it seems to be, because people are going to follow things that tickle their fancy, you know, stroke their emotions as well. And so if all these mediums that you're talking about that exist and social platforms is coming at you as like 12 darts. I'm used to 2 darts. It's 12 now.
You know what you can do? And you can put your fucking phone down, bro.
Yeah, but we know how.
But I'm just saying. We're lazy, man. We're lazy. That's what the fuck they got libraries for. But we don't go to libraries. We don't do. You got the ultimate card catalog at your fingertips. You can get peer reviewed information on every disease that has been in existence since the beginning of time, bro.
Yeah.
There's really no excuse. We have to elevate our minds to be knowledge seekers. And understanders, if that's even a word. We have to understand concepts and context and how it's applicable to our everyday lives. We have to get out from under the crutch of the microwave mediums, man.
I hate to sound like a cliche, but it's really the matrix. It's what you're conditioned to get information from. For an example, well, my pastor didn't say it, so
yeah,
I believe. Well, my congressman,
pastor was too busy fucking the church secretary.
Exactly. But pastor, congressman, whatever, is some authority level that, unfortunately, even your doctor. Your doctor might, you go to your doctor where you know you need to, let's say, lose weight or stop eating, drinking sodas every day, a pack of sodas, like certain things that you should know. And shouldn't have to rely, like, you know, pastor said this, or my doctor said that, my relative said this. That shit ain't gonna work for me.
Right.
Again.
You know, I just tell people this, man, and I hope that people hear this, man. It's like there is the human body is the most glorious scientific experiment that has ever been created. So whatever you believe in terms of a higher power, it's the best thing that higher power has ever created. But what you also need to understand is that there are people out there that are experts at how the human body works. You need to live your life like you're taking care of a treasure. And I haven't always done it, trying to do better at it, but I have a better understanding of what my body does, because I went out and I did the research. And this is totally off topic. We're just bullshitting around now, but
no, it's talking about COVID.
But you have to understand what your body does, what your body is capable of. And I'll just say this before we roll. Life is not plural. You see what I'm saying?
You get one.
And this shit don't come with a motherfucking do-over. So you can sit there and continue to be susceptible to low quality information, or you can take your health by the horns and you can find out what your comorbidities are, do the research on those things and try to reverse those things. Or really, you're going to sit there and you're going to fucking die. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Simple as that. Quit being a dumbass. You know what I'm saying? The information's out there. You have to be willing. And I hate to sound preachy and get up on the soapbox, because Lord knows that I have been, you know, truly overweight at times. I've been, you know, I've treated my body like a dumpster at times. It's just, it's crazy the shit that I've gone through health wise. But at this particular point, only thing I'm encouraging people to do is to don't fall for the okie doke social media shit. If you're getting your information, if you're getting your health information from your pastor, you're a dumbass. Yeah. If you are only getting your information from your doctor, you're not quite a dumbass, but you're underinformed.
Yeah.
Because your doctor, as brilliant, because I love my doctor who's actually fucking retiring. I understand that she doesn't know everything.
Oh, you have a female.
Yeah, I have a female. Okay. I've had the same doctor since 1999, bro. Yeah, she's retiring at 50, 51. Mm. I know. Pissing me off. Rubbing, but anyway.
In, yeah.
So you have to understand that that person doesn't know everything. And when it comes to your body, you need to go and do the research. You have to do the research that is going to be specific to what your lifestyle and life plan is. So, but anyway, we're not going to belabor the point, man. Quit being ignorant and shit. Pick up a motherfucking book. Use the internet. Get peer-reviewed articles. If you have a college or university near you, see if you can get access to their JSTOR, which has tons of peer-reviewed articles about just about anything. You know what I'm saying? Community college, you know, wherever you live. Most colleges are, especially, right, and they're mostly state-funded, and that means that they're going to be public for you to be able to go in and get information.
Right,
so,
right.
Like I said, the information is there. There's no fucking excuse. Elevate your mind. Elevate your fucking mind. Try to elevate your mind. You know what I'm saying? Don't let shit happen to you. You know what I'm saying? You got to go out there and have to, you know, you got to go out there and push a little bit. But anyway, man.
Live on purpose. Yeah,
yeah, we're gonna go ahead and get the fuck up out of here, man. We appreciate everybody listening. Hope that we drop some shit on you. Hope you're enjoying the return of the Mac.
Return
of
the Mac. We have to put that in
there. Oh yeah, for real. But yeah, it's good to be back up in this motherfucker, man. We're gonna keep hitting the chest with some shit. Yeah, so yeah, man. Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcast, you know, all the other platforms and shit to run on Spotify, shit like that, man. RSS feed is everywhere. So yeah, we back up in this motherfucker, man. We're gonna keep hitting it.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.